If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Contrary to what Dave said, my message is not 20 points this morning. It's 3. Now, I still may go for 3 hours, but no, I'm kidding. I don't have that much stamina. But I want to share with you this morning on the subject. The title of my message is All In. All In. As I was contemplating coming home and ministering the Word of God, the Lord dropped in my heart the series. Actually, I'm beginning a series today entitled All In, because I believe God wants to speak to our hearts to renew our commitment to being all in on the things of God. Now, what does it mean to be all in? Well, I looked that up, and a definition I found of the idiom, the phrase all in, means this: fully committed to a task or endeavor, giving or prepared to give all of one's energy or resources towards something. I'll say that again. To be all in means to be fully committed to a task or endeavor, giving or prepared to give all of one's energy or resources toward something. Now, we may know that all in is also a gambling term. Now, I am not a gambler. I don't endorse gambling. Never have been. But I think we understand the concept of one pushing their chips, so to speak, all in, risking everything they have, saying, I am all in on what I'm going to do. And I think there's a spiritual application in being all in on the things of God. When I look back over my life, I can see areas where I made the decision to be all in. When I received the Lord as my personal Savior, I'm sure many of you can look back to that time. I was 5 years old. I'm not sure I had much of a theological understanding, but I was able at that young age to understand what it meant to need a Savior. My mother led me to the Lord at that age, and I have had many stumbles and slips since then, but I made the decision to be all in. I remember, of course, when my wife and I got married almost 39 years ago. We both made the decision to be all in on our commitment to one another. Have there been struggles? Have there been ups and downs? Of course, just like in any relationship. But we made the decision and have stuck to it to be all in. I remember when God led Sharon and I to plant Harvest Church leading up to our beginning in 1992. We left a comfortable position, but we felt the call of God on our lives to plant this church at that time in Mount Vernon, and we invested all of our resources and energy without looking back. We invested into planting this new church, and we haven't looked back since. 27 years later, we have been all in on this, and I believe God wants to speak to our hearts today to have us recommit or reaffirm our decision to be all in on the things of God. To be all in means we don't go halfway. We don't give up when the going gets tough. We don't look back and say, what if, or should I have done this? Should I have gone this way? We say, no, Lord, I am all in on the things of God. I am all in on following after you. I am all in on being what you want me to be. I'm not going to give a half effort or three quarters of an effort or 99% of an effort. Lord, I'm going to be all in. How many are with me this morning? The passage that we read this morning in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul uses the metaphor competition or sports to get his point across. Now, I've broken it to you before, but for those of you who don't like sports, Paul was a sports fan. It's obvious from his writing, okay? We can't get around it. And the type of athletic contests he was referring to here were what were known as the Isthmian Games. They were second in prestige only to the Olympic Games. They were held in the city of Corinth, where the church Paul was writing to here was located, every 2 years. They were extravagant festivals of religion, athletics, and the arts, attracting thousands of competitors and visitors from all over the empire. Its sponsors and its greater athletes were honored in Isthmia itself by monuments, statues, and inscriptions. The games included six basic events: racing, wrestling, jumping, boxing, hurling the javelin, and throwing the discus. The Apostle Paul here uses these games as a metaphor for being all in. If there's ever a poster child for being all in, it's the Apostle Paul. After the Lord saved him on the road to Damascus and turned his life around and called him as the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul never looked back. He was all in. And I believe God is issuing this morning a renewed call to every one of us who names the name of Christ to be all in on the things of God. Hallelujah. So this morning, in the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, what are the characteristics of believers who are all in? What are the characteristics or the qualities of believers who are all in on the things of God? The first one, the first quality of one who is all in is this: they meet challenges with a fierce determination. They meet challenges with a fierce determination. Paul says here in verse 24, in a race, all the runners run. Well, thank you, Paul. That makes sense. Runners run. Who knew? But what he's saying here is that in the race of life, we are all engaged. None of us had a choice about coming into the world, did we? We are all in this race called life. Paul often likened the Christian life to a race by referring to finishing my course. He did this in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. In a race, all the runners run, Paul said, but only one gets the prize. Now, Paul is not saying here that Christianity is a competition between believers. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? I don't have to compete with you, and you don't have to compete with me. But nevertheless, we are in a competition, and the point of competition is that there is struggle, there is difficulty, there are things to be overcome. The scriptures declare in Job 5, verse 7, man is born into trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Jesus himself said in John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. We know that's true, don't we? That's part of life. You can't escape it. You can't be exempt from trouble. Trouble is part of life. In a race, all the runners run. We are in a competition this morning. We are in a race this morning, whether we realize it or not. And Paul goes further in his metaphor. He says, run in such a way as to get the prize. I like how the New American Standard Bible translates this phrase. It says, run in such a way that you may win. The original Greek says, run to obtain. In other words, run in such a way that you'll win, that you'll get the prize. Persevere. Don't give up. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Yes, life is full of struggles. Life is full of challenges. And I'm like you. When another set of challenges, and I've said this before, how many know they come in clusters, right? One thing goes wrong, five things go wrong. That's called life. But he says, run with perseverance. Run with a determination. And those who are all in, they don't quit. They don't give up when a problem comes. They don't say, hey, I've had it. I'm checking out because this is difficult, or because not everybody likes me, or not everybody approves of everything I do, or because someone hurt my feelings, or because something didn't work out right, or because this is harder than I thought. No, they say, I am determined to run this race to win. I am going to be in it for the long haul. I am going to finish my race. I am going to stick with it no matter what comes my way. God is looking for people who have that kind of determination in regard to the things of God, in regard to fulfilling His plan for our lives. Booker T. Washington said, success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life as by the obstacles that one has overcome while trying to succeed. Everybody recognizes that Ludwig van Beethoven was a musical genius. But few realize the adversity he had to overcome to achieve greatness. In his 20s, he began to lose his hearing. Now, that's not an optimal situation for a musician, you know. He began to lose his hearing in his 20s because he couldn't feel the music as he once had. On one occasion, he said his fingers became what he called thick. In other words, they didn't seem to work like he'd like them to. His hearing problems haunted him into the middle years of his life, but he kept it a guarded secret. By the time he reached his 50s, he was completely deaf, but he refused to give up. He was once overheard shouting at the top of his voice, I will take life by the throat, he said. Many of his biographers believe the only reason Beethoven remained productive for so long was his determination. Those who are all in display they meet challenges with a fierce determination. Heard another story about a man who was in a grocery store, and he observed a woman pushing her cart with a three-year-old in the cart. And as they passed the cookie section, the little girl asked for cookies, and her mother told her no. And the girl immediately began to whine and fuss and cut a tantrum. And the mother said quietly, now, Monica, we have just half of the aisles left to go through. Don't be upset. It won't be long. Soon they came to the candy aisle, and the little girl began to shout for candy. And when she was told she couldn't have any, she began to bawl her eyes out. The mother said, there, there, Monica, don't cry. Only two more aisles to go, and then we'll be checking out. Then they got to the checkout stand. The little girl immediately began to clamor for gum and burst into an uncontrollable tantrum upon discovering that her mother was purchasing no gum. The mother patiently said, Monica, we'll be through this checkout stand in 5 minutes, and then we can go home and have a nice nap. The man happened to check out and followed them out to the parking lot and stopped the woman to compliment her. He said, I couldn't help but notice how patient you were with little Monica, he said. The mother replied, I'm Monica. My girl's name is Tammy. You see, sometimes we have to give ourselves a little pep talk. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. Sometimes we have to say, there, there, it's just a little while, we'll get through this. The scripture says that David, when he was depressed and discouraged, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, it's wonderful when we have others who can encourage us, but let me tell you, sometimes we need to encourage ourselves. We need to rise up in faith. We need to appropriate the word of God who says he will be with us and he will help us through every trial. And we need to develop some backbone and say we're going to persevere. A great sermon I heard was from Acts chapter 4 several years ago at a previous general council when the disciples had begun to be persecuted for proclaiming Christ, and they were beaten for the cause of Christ. And this pastor shared, and it always stuck in my mind, that when they prayed not for their trials to cease, not for the road to become easier, but they prayed, I love the way this pastor shared it, they prayed for God to put steel in their spine and for them to be able to bear up and to withstand the pressures they were facing, and for God to give them a holy determination not to quit, not to stop short, not to turn back, but to be all in and to press through. Listen, you may be facing trials that are too big for you. You may be facing things that will cause you to be discouraged, whether it's your career path or something in your family or something with your finances or your health or whatever it may be. I want you to know that Almighty God loves you. He is with you. And if you will trust in Him, if you will persevere, if you will develop a fierce determination to say, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to fight through it and I'm going to be victorious. I'm all in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to be all in and have a fierce determination this morning. Secondly, believers who are all in, the second quality they display is this: they move toward a meaningful destination. They move toward a meaningful destination. Paul writes here in verse 25, he says, we run this race. Some run this race to get a crown that will not last. He says, we don't run in a way to get a crown that will not last. That New American Standard Bible, again, translates this to get a perishable wreath. The winner in the Isthmian contests didn't receive great wealth. They didn't even receive gold, silver, or bronze medals. You know what they received? They received a wreath made of withered parsley or celery. Wow, grand prize, huh? And of course, that wouldn't last. It would wither away. But you see, the composition of the crown was unimportant. What mattered was the prestige, the fame that came with it. The Greek word for crown here, there are several Greek words for crown. This Greek word is stephanos, which in Greek means the victor's crown, as opposed to diadem. Diadem was the Greek word for a kingly crown. This is the stephanos, the victor's crown. And he says, Paul says, we don't run this race to get a perishable crown. We run this race to get a crown that will last forever. A crown that is imperishable. The scriptures often refer to the believer's reward as a crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4:8, the crown of life in James 1:12, the crown of glory that will never fade away, 1 Peter 5:4. These concepts all refer, these phrases all refer to the concept of victory, of winning a victory over our enemies, of having a reward or a prize or a crown that has some meaning, that's worth something, that doesn't fade away. This crown, this destination, this purpose gives, this effort gives purpose to our effort. He says this, look at verse 26, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. You know, like a man running with no purpose. Now, you know, running or getting exercise, Scripture says in one place, bodily exercise profits a little bit. But he says, I'm not running aimlessly just to run. I'm running to get somewhere. I have a destination. I have something I'm moving toward. Something with meaning. I do not run like a man running aimlessly. And then Paul mixes his metaphors here. He says, I do not fight like a man beating the air. You know, shadow box. Fighters may shadow box a little bit to limber up, but they don't get paid the big bucks to do shadow boxing, do they? No, they get in the ring. They do all this because there is a contest, because there is a prize to be won. Paul says, we do all that we do. And Paul went through a lot. You know that. Beaten, with a cat of nine tails within inches of his life, pursued in dire situations. Why did he do all that? Because he was pursuing a crown that will last. He was moving toward a meaningful destination. What is your life moving toward today? What is your ultimate goal? What are you working toward? What are you putting all your energy into? Something that will fade away like that wreath of dried celery leaves? Or something that will last forever? Something that has meaning? Paul said, we do it for a crown that will last. And that gives purpose to our effort. Why do we struggle? Why do we persevere? Why do we keep doing the things we do when there are difficulties and setbacks and tears and struggles? It's because we're moving toward a meaningful destination. Hallelujah. Someday we're going to receive a crown that will last forever. Someday we're going to receive the ultimate prize. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard about a woman who was a world-class runner. She was invited to compete in a road race in Connecticut. And on the morning of the race, she drove from her home in New York City, following the directions, or so she thought, to the race in Connecticut. The directions were given to her over the telephone. She got lost. This was before the days before GPS. Although that can get you lost sometimes too, right? She stopped at a gas station. She asked for help. She knew that the race started in the parking lot of a shopping mall. And she was a world-class, renowned runner. So she stopped at a gas station, got directions. She got to the race, and she was surprised there weren't as many competing as she thought. And she hurried to the registration desk and announced herself. And she was surprised. The race officials were excited to have such a world-renowned athlete in their race. And they didn't have a record of her entry, but they said if she hurried up and put on her number, she can make it before the gun goes off. So she ran the race, and she naturally, she won very easily, getting to the finish line some 4 minutes ahead of the first male runner who was in second place. Only after the race, when there was no envelope containing her sizable prize and her performance money, afterward, she realized that she ran in the wrong race. The race that she was supposed to run in was being held several miles further up the road in another town. She'd gone to the wrong starting line, run the wrong course, and missed her chance to win a valuable prize. There are a lot of people who are expending so much energy and resources in running the wrong race. Because they're pursuing crowns that won't last. Fame, fortune, wealth. It's a cliche, it's been said, you never see a U-Haul following a hearse. You can't take it with you. There was an executive who liked to interview people. He was a headhunter. He liked to interview people about their purpose and their mindset. And he said, when I get an executive that I'm trying to hire for someone else, he said, I like to disarm him. He said, I offer him a drink, take off my coat, take my vest off, undo my tie, throw my feet upon the desk. He said, I talk about baseball, football, family, whatever. He said, until they're nice and relaxed. He said, then I lean over, look him square in the eye, and say, what's your purpose in life? He said, it's amazing how many top executives fall apart at that question. And then he said, one day I was interviewing this fellow and had him all disarmed with my feet up on the desk, talking about football. He said, then I leaned up and said to him, what's your purpose in life, Bob? He said, without blinking an eye, to go to heaven and take as many people with me as I can. That headhunter said, for the first time in my career, I was speechless. Here was someone who knew where he was going. Here was someone who was moving toward a meaningful destination. What is your life moving toward today? What are you putting most of your effort into? Your resources, your finances, your energy, your effort. Let's move toward a meaningful destination, toward things that will last, toward things that will last for eternity and make a difference in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. As I'm saying this morning, it occurs to me, and I say this very respectfully, some of us hearing this need to reprioritize today. Some of us hearing this need to say, hey, I'm putting a lot of effort and energy and resources into running the wrong race. Christians who are all in are moving toward a meaningful destination. What are you moving toward today? Thirdly, and finally today, the third characteristic of believers who are all in is that they impose upon themselves a strict discipline. They impose upon themselves a strict discipline. Now, my first point, I mentioned that we had to have determination to fight through difficulty and obstacles. And that refers to mostly things that are external to us. Challenges, problems, difficulties, obstacles. But what I'm talking about here, in contrast to being external, what we're talking about here when we talk about discipline is internal. Believers who are all in impose upon themselves a strict discipline. Paul said, I go in this fight, in verse 25, I go into strict training. The New American Standard Bible translates this self-control. Any athlete entered in the ancient Isthmian or Olympic Games was required to go into 10 months of strict training and was subject to disqualification if he failed to do so. Paul says here, I beat my body. Literally, in the literal Greek, he's saying, I strike myself under the eye, hence to give a black eye. I beat my body and make it my slave. He's not literally advocating, self-asceticism or self-mutilation, but he's speaking of, and he's not just speaking of physical discipline, but what he's saying is this, by the metaphor of the body, he's saying, I bring my entire being into subjection to my purpose. In Paul's case, the purpose was preaching the gospel. He said, I bring my entire being into subjection. I control myself. I impose a strict discipline upon myself. Paul talked about this elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 4:11 and 2 Corinthians 11:16 through 33. You see, sometimes the biggest struggle is not with the obstacles on the outside. It's with self on the inside. And one of the biggest hindrances to us being all in is a lack of self-control. A lack of self-discipline. Can I tell you this? Some of the greatest decisions you will ever make in life are to know what to say no to. Paul said in one place that not everything is expedient. Everything may be possible, but it's not expedient. Not everything I can do is something I should do. You see, this is in contrast to the mentality of the world. The world says, and we hear about this more now than ever, don't we? At this group and that group and every other group, I have rights. I want to exercise my... Nobody better try and take away my rights. What is the mindset of the believer who's all in? I'm willing to lay aside my rights. I'm willing to say no to me, to my flesh, to my desires. Yes, I have rights, but not everything I see as a right is right to do. Come on. And this is sometimes the hardest thing. And listen, I'm not speaking from some ivory tower today. I struggle with me as much as you struggle with you. That's part of life. In Romans 7, Paul talked about that. I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I want to do. Come on, we can all identify with that. But church, we can't give up. If we're all in, we have to learn to say no to our flesh, no to ourselves, no to our desires. We have to put ourselves in a strict discipline. We have to be the master of not only our physical body, but our mind, our spirit, our emotions. We need to bring things under subjection. We need to exercise self-control and self-discipline. And Paul says the purpose of this, look at what he says in verse 27, is so that I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. The Greek word translated into English disqualified is adokamos. It means unapproved. It's from the word dokamos, which means documented or approved, and the word the letter a in front of it is the negative. Adokamos, not approved. I need to do this so that I will not be adokamos. I will not be unapproved. I will not be disqualified. Paul says, I'm the apostle. I'm the pastor. I'm the one charged with sharing the gospel. But he said, it's not enough for me to proclaim it. I have to bring myself, my entire being, under subjection, under a strict discipline, so that even though I preach, even though I exhort others, I myself will not be disqualified, will not get off track. And this is the hardest thing for many of us, because we have this thing in us called our flesh, our human nature. Lanny Basham is an Olympic gold medalist in a small bore rifle competition. And he tells what concentration does for his marksmanship. He says, our sport is controlled non-movement. We are shooting from 50 meters over half a football field at a bullseye 3/4 the size of a dime. If the angle of error at the point of the barrel is more than 0.005 of a millimeter, that is 1/5,000th of a millimeter, you drop into the next circle, you lose a point. So we have to learn how to make every, this is fascinating to me. So we have to learn how to make everything stop. I stop my breathing. I stop my digestion by not eating for 12 hours before the competition. I'd be out right there. I train my running to keep my pulse around 60, so I have a full second between beats. I have gotten it lower, but found that the stroke volume increased so much that each beat really jolted me. You do all this, and you have the technical control, but you have to have some years of experience in reading the conditions, the wind, the mirage, whatever that means. He says, then you have the other 80% of the problem, the mind. Can you imagine? Extreme discipline. What would it be like? And I'm saying this to myself as well as you. What would it be like if we applied a fraction of that kind of spiritual discipline to ourselves? If we learned where to say no to things we can do but maybe we shouldn't do. Paul said elsewhere that he, everything he achieved in life, he considered it as refuse and garbage. He said that I may attain Christ. What is God calling you? What area is God calling you to exercise discipline in? To say no to yourself in? It is those kind of decisions that believers who are really all in make on a daily basis. They're not so concerned about others saying no to them because they've learned how to say no to themselves. This morning, as I bring this message to a close, I believe, as I said earlier, God is calling all of us to be all in. All in. Maybe you're here today, you said, Pastor Tim, I felt like I was all in. Now I heard you say all that, I'm not sure. That's okay. I'm not trying to make anybody feel insecure or like less than a dedicated believer today. That's not my goal. We all struggle. We all deal with issues. But I'm sharing this today. God, I told you, before I ever preach a message to you, God preaches it to me. It's one of the things I came home with. I told you, we were spiritually energized. Is determination to be all in, to redouble our efforts in this church and in our personal lives in the kingdom of God. Church, it's never too late to make a new beginning. It's never too late to say, hey, I'm going to gear things up. I'm going to take stock. I'm going to take inventory. I'm going to look at those areas where maybe I haven't been all in, and I'm going to pursue the prize. As we said this morning, believers who are all in, they meet challenges with a fierce determination. They're not going to let some difficulty, some struggle, some setback cause them to give up or give less than their full effort. But believers who are all in move toward a meaningful destination. They're running in the right race. They're pursuing things that matter, things that will last for all of eternity. And believers who are all in impose upon themselves a strict discipline. They know how to say no to themselves and yes to the things that God desires. Let me ask you this morning, respectfully, are you, as a believer, all in? Are you determined to persevere no matter how difficult the challenge? Or will a setback, will a disappointment, hurt feelings, maybe a betrayal even, will that cause you to say it's not worth it? Are you determined this morning? I ask you this morning, are you moving toward a destination that matters? Are your efforts, your energy, your resources being invested in goals of eternal significance in the lives of other people, in the purpose of Almighty God, in the kingdom of God? Or are they invested in things that in the end don't matter? Are you moving toward a destination that matters? And thirdly, I respectfully ask this morning, are you applying a strict discipline to yourself? Able to say no to yourself, to your flesh, to your desires, in order that you may win the prize, in order that you may achieve what God wants you to achieve in life? Are there areas that you need to bring under discipline? Are there areas in which you need to develop the determination to say no to yourself? God is calling for us to be all in. Are you all in today?